Turn your Bibles this morning. Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. And we'll get into what the Lord has me, my heart on this morning. We'll read 8 verses there. I think that's where the Lord wants me. Go a little farther if He doesn't. If He wants me farther, that's okay. But these are glorious verses, friends. They're good stuff. I praise the Lord for it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said," remember that one that sat upon the throne was greater than the great white throne. The one that sat on it was greater. "The great is the throne, but greater is the one that sits on that throne. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part," all liars, "shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." God, we love you this morning. Pray God you'd get the glory. Pray God there'd be a soul in here lost this morning. Lord, as we're trumpeting our voice, Lord, we pray God the Spirit of God would dwell through me. Lord, that your word would be spoken correctly. Lord, that nothing would come from this lisping tongue or wrong, but we pray God you'd give our glory out of this thing. We'll give you praise, honor, glory. It is all about you, nothing about us. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Oftentimes we get stuck on the temporal things of this life rather than those things which are to come. And oftentimes we get stuck on the infirmities of this life and sickness and pain and tears and sorrow and all of this kind of stuff we get stuck on. Have you ever seen a dog? How many of y'all got dogs in here? You got dogs. And your dogs run away all the time, jokers, right? So have you ever seen a dog get lost and you look, but you can't find that dog? And some days later, that dog just magically appears back up. Has that ever happened to you? All right. And I figured it had. And so oftentimes, you know, when you see that, I've seen that happen before. And I've seen it happen in other people's lives and that sort of stuff. But that dog just shows up back on the steps. It scratches all over it. It's got blood all over it. And it's mangled, and it makes you wonder oftentimes. This is my thought this morning. We going somewhere. Man, what in the world did this dog get into? What in the world did this dog... Anybody ever thought that? Have you ever thought that? Man, what in the world did this dog get into out there? Like, what in the world touched this dog and made this dog look like this? What happened? You know, the most amazing thing in this story... that we read this morning is whatever it was in this story here about this dog, whatever it was that made the dog bleed, that made the dog scratch, that made the dog mangled, whatever it was did not follow that dog home. Isn't that amazing? Hey, we're going somewhere. According to God's Word, every person who is saved is a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. That's 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number chapter 2 and verse number 11. And as we make our way in through this world, we are headed to our heavenly home. Is that right? Everybody with me so far, right? John chapter 14 and verse 1 through 3 tells us that we're headed to our heavenly home. But along the way, there are going to be elements of this life that trouble us and that hinder us, our progress along the way. And it's just going to happen. Evil things like death, disease, discouragement, depression, anxiety, and the devil and that sort of stuff will absolutely make our way towards home tough. You agree? But when I read this passage, like we have read this morning, I am reminded that every one of the things that trouble us here are not allowed, are not ever going to be allowed to follow us home. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all ain't getting this. Y'all getting this, right? Amen. We're going to get somewhere in just a minute. Like that old dog, friend. There will come a day when the journey will be over and we will be safely at home in the Father's house. Amen. Thank God. We will be in a place of peace, a place of safety, a place of perfection. While I travel this life, I am sure that there will be things that will harm us along the way. I'm positive, but I want to say to those things that you and I will go through this morning that you might harm me here, but you can't follow me home. Amen, friend. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord all over this. Now, I know that some of you are defeated. I know that some of you are discouraged and dealing with something today, including me. I am. I want you to know that we're going to, all this stuff that we're dealing with today, we're one day in. It's temporal. It's temporal. It's not going to last long. I don't care what you're going through. It's not going to last long. If you're saved in here this morning, it's going to end one day. Aren't you glad about that? I mean, think about heaven. Let's sit down and think about heaven for a little while. I mean, if we'll sit down and legitimately think about heaven, we'll be a whole lot more excited. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit. Here's what we're going to get to this morning. The Bible tells us that the land above is better there. Amen. Today I want to take this passage and I want to show you a few things, some of life's harming things that will not follow us home to glory. And I want to preach for a few minutes on this thought. You might harm me here, but you can't follow me home. You might harm me here, but you can't follow me home. Number one this morning, sorrow, you can't follow me home. Verse number 4, the Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Aren't y'all glad about that? There is no denying that this life is full of trouble, is full of trials, is full of tragedies along the way. And every day we count diseases and distresses and discouragements and deaths and all this kind of stuff that takes place in the life that we live. This is what the Bible said it would be. Job chapter number 14 and verse number 1 says, a man that's born of woman is full of trouble. There's just going to be full of trouble. His days are going to be full of trouble. And we live in this day that's just going to be full of trouble. Y'all realize that? It's a day full of trouble. 1 Peter in chapter number 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says right there, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Not just joy, but exceeding joy. Amen, friend. Thank the Lord this morning. There isn't a person in this room who has come this far in their journey untouched, unscathed by the problems and troubles of this life. You know, in fact, many, if not all of you, are probably going through one right now. Some kind of, I'm sure all of you in here probably have some type of scar on your heart, or on your mind, or on your body. Many things in your life have not gone as you planned them to go. And all of the sorrow and pain, and that is a lot of every human being who has ever lived. That is our lot. If you've ever lived upon this earth, according to verse number 4, the troubles and trials of this life, though, cannot follow us home. Yeah, man, I'm glad about that, friend. Listen, when we leave this world, when I leave this world, whether it be by the rapture or by the grave, does not matter to me. There are just some things that cannot go with me, thank God. Yeah, man, I'm glad this morning. Think about it. In heaven there will be no more death. Anybody ever lost a good loved one in here? I mean somebody you loved. There won't be no death there, friend. We ought to rejoice about that this morning. There won't be no death there in heaven. No one will ever die. No grave will ever be dug. Never again will a grief-stricken heart, a grief-stricken loved one stand beside the dead, lifeless body of a departed one. Never will it happen again, thank God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? He has defeated death. He has done all of those things. Victory is mine. Thank God this morning. There will be no death. Sorrow. There will be no sorrow. This word in verse 4. Sorrow, it refers to sorrow or grief of any kind. Anything, it speaks of all the pains and troubles and heartaches we experience in life. Disappointments, trials, problems, loss of friends, loss of property, loss of death of loved ones, persecutions, our own failures, whatever it may be. All are in the view here in this word sorrow. And truly this life is full of heartache. It's full of sorrow, but not one of those things that trouble us here, that harm us here, will be able to follow us there. Amen. Crying. This word has the idea, the word crying has the idea of the outburst or outcry of tears. And it refers to those times when you're absolutely overwhelmed and broken by the events of today's life. It speaks about those things, those times when we are at our very end. How about that? The very end of our ropes and do not know what to do, do not care about, if you've never been there, friend, I'm glad that it won't be over there, friend. I'm glad I've left this place before after I got done preaching and felt like I was at the end of my rope. But friend, can I tell you, I felt like I was hanging on to the smallest thread. I wanted to quit. I wanted to give in. But thank God it just happened to be the hem of His garment that I was holding on to, thank God. And if that's the last thread you can hold on to, it'll do you sufficient. It'll suffice you to the end, friend. I tell you, whatever happens here, all the sorrow and crying and pain that happens here will not follow us to glory. They harm you here, but it can't follow you home. Yeah, man, pain. This word refers to labor, toil, or great trouble that you may go through. It refers to all the diseases and disappointments and disasters that we encounter as we move throughout this world. Whatever it may be, whether it be cancer, or what the cancer, that disease, cancer, COVID, I don't care what it is, friend. All of that kind of stuff as we move throughout this world. Let me tell you the good news. Can I tell you the good news? Everybody all right, right? I'll tell you the good news. COVID will not be in heaven. Amen. Cancer will not be in heaven. Amen. Any kind of disease will never be in heaven. It will never be there, friend. None of these things will be able to follow us home. No hospital, no broken home, no broken hearts, no trials, no tragedies, no tribulation. None of that stuff will be able to make it through to with us in the glory. Thank God. Amen. All y'all excited about heaven? Man, I sure am. Tears. This is the sum. It says crying, but then it says tears. God shall wipe away all the tears. I like what Spurgeon had to say about it. Spurgeon said, God is the ultimate tear wiper. He sure enough is. You know why He's the ultimate tear wiper? Because when He wipes away your tears, they ain't coming back. Amen. That's something about that, friend. This is the sum of our blessed promised state in heaven. All the things that drive us into weeping and sorrow here will not be found there. Amen. I'm happy about that. I don't know about you, but it seems like some of the sorrow, it seems like to me that sorrow is always following me. Feel like that to anybody else? Feels like sorrow is always following me, but I just want to tell it this. I want it to know this. Sorrow, you might harm me here, but you can't follow me home.
Amen.
You can't follow me home. Sorrow, you can't follow me home. Number two this morning, Satan, you can't follow me home. Aren't you glad about that? I mean, some of y'all look in here like you're just happy that you're walking with Satan. Satan, you can't follow me home. Satan, he can't go with us. Y'all know that, right? Y'all want to give him a black eye this morning? He can't follow us home. Verse number 8, the Bible says, but the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable goes on through all those kind of same, the whoremongers, murderers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire, and brimstone, which is the second death, verse number 10 of chapter number 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And it says, and ever. It's never going to end. His eternity. We got everlasting life. You know what everlasting life is? Everlasting life is a life with a beginning, but with no end. That's what we have this morning. Aren't you glad that we have that everlasting life? That eternal life. He's got eternal life in hell. He's going to burn forever and ever and ever. Satan might bother us here. He might harm us here. But friend, can I tell you this morning, he cannot follow us home. Amen. While it's true that much of the things that happen in this life is living because we live in a sin-cursed world, it's also true that being called the devil causes saints of God much harm. It causes me much harm and grief. And Satan's desire is to destroy, defeat you. You know that, right? That's his. That's what he wants to do. I mean, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all he wants to do upon this life. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, all he wants to do is devour y'all. All he wants to do is devour you. That's all he wants to do upon this life is do nothing but devour you. And he will stop at nothing to see you fall and to see you fail in this life. He is called many names upon this life. Many names. Let me give you a few. Number one, he's called the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10, he's called the accuser of the brethren. I believe you could go over there to Job in chapter 1, verse number 9 through verse number 11. You'll find in that chapter right there that he sure enough is an accuser of the brethren. If he can't get to you, he'll use somebody else to accuse you. Right? I mean, I've seen it take place in my life. People accusing, people talking over here, people talking over here, people saying this, accusing me of something that I did not do. Friend, can I say that? All they're acting like is somebody like the devil. Amen. Accuser of the brethren, those verses in Job clearly show us. You can read them yourself. It's exactly what he is. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he's called the adversary. The adversary. You know that, you know what that word means? An opponent. An opponent to who? An opponent to God. An opponent to me. An opponent to you. That's all he ever wants to be, is nothing but an opponent. He wants to stand up. He wants to fight. He wants to do that. He overfilled my water and I just spilled it everywhere up here. I tell you something, friend. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to accuse you and he wants to be an adversary to you and an opponent to you. And he wants to get inside the ring and do nothing but fight you. Amen, friend. I tell you something. All I got to say about any of this kind of stuff this morning is this. I heard a man say not too long ago, and I've used it oftentimes to try to encourage somebody and try to say something about somebody and give somebody an encouragement, is that when we want to quit, you realize that the man in the ring fighting don't even have a towel. If you want to throw in your towel, you can't even throw it in. You're in the ring fighting. The dude inside don't even have the towel. Am I right? I know that's very materialistic sense, but I tell you, it's the truth. We're not in there to quit. We're in there to fight. And if we quit, well, you know what's going to happen? We're going to lose. We're going to lose. That's simply what's going to happen in our life, is we're just going to lose and everything's going to happen in this life and we're not going to care about it anymore. We're just going to give in and quit. Why in the world are you wanting to quit? That's easy preaching. I mean, come on, why are we wanting to quit? Why are people doing this? Why are people doing that? Because the adversary, the devil, is strong. Then he's called the devil. Your adversary, the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, he's called the devil. The word devil literally means false accuser or slanderer. Y'all catch that? False accuser and slanderer. Can I just say this? He will never have anything good to say about you. He may have something good to say to you, but he ain't never going to have nothing good to say about you. Remember the next time you gossip or slander about somebody's name. Amen? You're being nothing but a devil by doing. Amen, friend. Y'all know I'm right. All I'm saying is that if that word devil literally means slander. If you're slandering somebody's name or bashing somebody's name or doing that kind of stuff, being gossiper about somebody's name, all you are being is a devil. Man, I wish some people could hear that. Listen, friend, I tell you something. All I know and all I know to say is that you're doing just what he could do. What he would do. John chapter 8, verse number 44, he's called the murderer. This word tells us in that, it tells us that he was and he is a manslayer. That's what that word means. When he deceived Eve into taking the fruit, he murdered mankind. There was no death. But now, because sin has infiltrated into this place, we see nothing but a bunch of death happening every day. There's people dying. There's men of God dying. Who's gonna be in their place? Who's gonna take that place? Who's gonna do it anymore? Everybody's giving up and giving in, right? Who is going to keep going? We gotta strengthen the ones which remain. We gotta go on with that kind of stuff, because there's people quitting, there's people dying left and right. Sammy Allen died last year. There's Ed McAbee dying. There's Stenett Ballou died the year before. There's so many people who are dying out of this place, and if we don't get in and get a grip from this thing, and take off running with it and stand our ground, then what's gonna happen? Is he gonna murder us too? Exactly what's going to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 4. He's called the God of this world. Little g God. That's what he is. He's a God. People literally worship him today. People who go to Baptist church worship him today. Amen. They do more things in their work week, in their week. They do more things in their week to please Him than they do to please God. Woe is me, said Isaiah. Woe is me, but worthy is He, friend. I tell you, we need to go by Him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, He's called the tempter. He's called the tempter. He wants you to sin, and He knows how to get you to sin. Ephesians 6, verse 12, He's called the ruler of the darkness. Satan has and wants nothing to do with the light. Y'all realize that, right? He knows where you are headed. He knows where he is headed, and he wants to take you with him. Everybody knows what light does. Y'all know what light does? I mean, and this is crazy because if you look at that light, I mean, you can still see. I understand this and that. But you know what light does? It actually exposes darkness. And that's why we're commanded to be the light of the world. That's why He is the light of the world. And Jesus, by the way, not Satan. But that's why Satan is the ruler of the darkness. And Jesus is the only one that can expose his stuff and point it out. And the Word of God can do that because it is the light. And the Bible even tells us in Psalms that it's a lamp and a light unto our path. If we'll hide His words in our heart, we'll not sin against God because the darkness, He is the ruler of it. And He can get in our life and infiltrate our life and deceive us and do this and that and this and that. But what we have to do quite often, and this is why we read our Bible at home, this is why we live holy lives. This is why we do all of this kind of stuff. Because what we have to do often is we have to turn the light on. Because we have to expose the darkness that's inside of us. And that's why Jesus said that this is a light. Amen. That's why you got to have preaching. Man. Thank God. He's the ruler of the darkness, though. He's a serpent. The Bible calls him a serpent in Genesis 3:4. Means sneaky. Subtle. Means if you leave a crack, he can get in. Simple. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, he's called the wicked one. He surely is wicked. Would you agree with that? He wants you to be right there with him. And he has many other names, and we could say all of this kind of stuff about the evil that he is, but the saints of God, one day, this is one day, I know he has all those names. Thank you, Lord. I know he has all those names. I know he has the accuser of the brethren, so on, so on, so on, adversary of the devil, Satan, so on. We could call him all kinds of stuff. But you know what I'm going to call him one day? Gone. Amen. Gone. That's what I'm going to call him. I mean, that's all I'm going to have to say about him. One of these days, friend, he's going to be gone. One day, because as evil as he is, he cannot follow us home.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to tell Slewfoot today, Satan, you can't follow me home. Amen. You might harm me here, but you can't follow me home. Amen. Sorrow, Satan, thirdly, sin, you can't follow me home. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Verse 8, but the fearful unbelieving, the abominable murderers, and it goes through and names a bunch of sin. Verse 2 tells us about the holy city of God, the New Jerusalem. Verse 9 through verse 11, we could read it as well, tells us that the city, let me see. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain that showed me that great city. Now I want you to notice what that great city is in verse number 9. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, showed me that great city. The holy Jerusalem, descended out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even in like a jasper stone. Clear as crystal. It tells us that that city is the bride of Christ. The bride of the Lamb. And as far as I can tell, throughout all of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 probably tells the best. As far as I can tell, that the church is the bride of Christ. And here, this city is associated with the inhabitants thereof. And here, the bride of Christ is pictured as a glorious, spotless, and sinless bride. Right? That's y'all, friend. I want you to know that's y'all. I mean, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, the Bible says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." This means that one of these days, you and I are going to be changed. The vile flesh will drop away and there will be no more appetite or ability to sin whatsoever, right? Are you happy about that or not? I mean, let's just face it. Everyone in this room, even those of you who are saved, and me and all of us, we still have trouble with sin. Our flesh, man, our flesh. The experience with Paul, Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25, that is our experience as well. He tells us there. In 1 Timothy, he tells us he's the chief of them. He's the chiefest of all the sinners. That's what he is. And that's how I feel. You see, when the Lord saved us, as I said on Sunday night, He saved us from the penalty of our sin. Right? And that's justification. He saved us from the penalty of our sin. He also saved us from the power of sin, right? That's sanctification. But we will one day be saved from the presence of that sin. And that's glorification. But that great blessing will not be realized as long as we live in this world. It just won't. According to the Bible, there will come a changing day for the saints of God. A legitimate changing day for the saints of God. And one glorious day, the flesh with all of its appetites, all of its affections, all of its allurements, all of the things will drop away forever. I cannot thank God enough for that, friend. I deal with the flesh every day to try to deal with this mess that goes on inside of my mind, that goes on inside of my body, that goes on in all of this kind of stuff. When that day comes, when that blessed day comes, when He calls me home, all the saints of God will be forever delivered from the presence of sin, and will be in trouble no more. No more sin will ever harm you. Thank God. Are y'all not glad about that? No sin will ever harm you. Nothing would ever take place in our lives anymore that has to do with sin.
Amen.
Y'all must not deal with it like I do. I'm telling y'all right now, I deal with it. We'll be in a body, in a land that is free from the temptation of sin. We'll be free. Free to worship. Free to praise the Lord. Free to live perfectly for the glory of God. I just want to remind this old flesh this morning, friend. I want to remind this old flesh, you might harm me here, but you can't follow me home.
Amen.
Amen. Sorrow, Satan, and sin. Lastly, I want everybody to look up here. Everybody look up here. Here's where we're going to get. And this last one, I'm done. There was sorrow, there's Satan, there's sin. But I want you to catch this one. Whether it be for the internet crowd or for somebody here. Sinner, you can't follow me home. Sinner, all the things I've told you about this wonderful and glorious place for those who are saved in here. But there's a sad note to verse number 8. Verse number 8 tells us there, but the fearful and unbelieving. And unbelieving. Now, it tells us that those who die in their sins will not be allowed inside that celestial city. That bothers me. That bothers me. But you got to understand the price of refusing Jesus as your Lord. The price is
blood and death.
You say, what do you mean the price? Well, the wages or sin is death. It's a price that somebody is going to have to pay. But notice that fifth word in verse number 8. This is unbelieving. This word refers to those without faith or to those without trust in God. It speaks about those who have never been saved through a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Himself said that those who would not believe in Him would not be saved. John chapter 8 verse 24. If you don't believe in Him, you ain't going to be saved. It's simple. Simple, beloved. Listen, if you're in here this morning lost, you may have listened as I tried to preach about heaven and about some of the things that will not follow us into that perfect land, and you might have thought, that's a place I too would like to go. That's a place I want to go. I want to go to that land. I want to go to heaven. I just want you to know that unless you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and I want to proclaim it as bold and as loud as I possibly can, friend, unless you come into faith in Jesus Christ, you will not go to heaven. Everybody understands that, right? Instead, you will go to hell.
Psalms chapter 9 verse 17, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8 through 9. You can read all kinds of verses. Luke chapter 16. I mean, you can read so much. I tell you, it does not have to end up that way though. Whether listening online, whether listening here, you can be saved. And you can be saved today. Amen, friend. Hallelujah, you can leave this building as sure for heaven as I'm standing here, as all the glories that is His. It's almost like you're already there. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. If that's what you want, let me tell you. Simple. Here's how you get it.
Romans chapter number 3, verse 10 through 23, meaning 23, for the wages of sin is death, gift of God's eternal life. Excuse me, it says all of sin have come short of the glory of God. We know that, but this is the first thing you got to do. You got to recognize you're a sinner. Then you got to understand that there's a penalty for your sins that has to be paid. Amen. Look up here. That has to be paid. It has to be paid. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. It has to be paid. Then you got to realize that God loves you and Jesus died for you. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, in that Christ died for you. Then you got to do these four things. Simple. It's very, very, very simple. Romans chapter 10 verse 9, Romans chapter 10 verse 13. You got to come. You got to confess, you got to repent, and you got to believe. That's four things that has to happen when you take in the salvation. And believe it or not, I don't care what any of the rest of this world tells you. If I ain't never been right on anything else, I'm right on this. And you can believe it or you can not believe it. This is the only plan of salvation God knows anything about.
Amen.
That the only one that will get you to heaven. Nothing, and I mean nothing else, will save your soul besides Jesus, His blessed name, His bloodstained name. Friend, I tell you, that's the only way He's going to get you to heaven. Somebody come up here and play. Stand to your feet this morning. I read this story. Samuel Morrison was a faithful missionary who served 25 years in Africa. And in failing health, Morrison had returned to the United States, and also he was traveling with President Teddy Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt had been in Africa for 3 weeks on an adventure of killing animals, a hunting expedition. And as a large ship pulled into the New York Harbor, it looked as though this entire city had come out to welcome the president. Music filled the air, banners
went, waved in the wind, and balloons flew to the sky, and confetti streamed down like snow. It's a story I read. As Roosevelt stepped into sight, the crowd exploded in applause and cheers, and it was truly a reception fit for a king. While all the eyes were on the president, Morrison quietly disembarked and slipped through the crowd. None of the applause was for him, and nobody was there to welcome him home. His heart began to ache as he prayed, "Lord, the president has been in Africa for 3 weeks killing animals, and the whole world turns out to welcome him home. I've given 25 years of my life in Africa serving you, and no one has greeted me or even knows I'm here." He then felt a gentle touch of God and sensed the Spirit say, "But my dear child, you're not home yet." What a joyous thought. What a joyous thought to realize that presidential recipients pale in comparison to the heavenly homecoming that's awaiting us. My friends, you might be troubled. You might be harmed by many things that take place today. But if you're saved, do not worry. Do not fret. Do not fear. We're not home yet. None of these things that hinder and harm our steps here can follow us home. None of them. I don't know what you need to do this morning, but if you just need to come and talk to the Lord about the pressures and problems of your life, or your relationship with Him, or maybe you're just struggling because you're not living as close as you should to Him, I tell you, He can fix that. Do you need to come and be saved this morning? He can fix that too. But I tell you, you might harm me here, sorrow, Satan, sin and sinner. Might harm me here, but you can't follow me home.